of Genesis, we have revealed to us the record of the revealed mysteries of Almighty God, the glorious Creator, the Maker and the Sustainer of all created things, the three in one God, that is the Holy Trinity. The more I read, the more I study, the more I consider and ponder on the book of Genesis, the more I rejoice that God has himself prepared for humanity the secrets of the all-wise Trinity, the order of creation. My mind has been shaken with the wonder of it all. As I have been personally studying the book of Genesis recently, I have been staggered with God's first three model men. God, of course, is the maker of all flesh that comes to abide upon this earth. But so many do not obey him or bow to his laws. God is still the Almighty Maker of all things. He is supreme. And we all will have to bow in homage before his throne. His word is sovereign. His laws reign over all mankind. We must bow and readily hail him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. We do not go very far in our reading of God's precious word until we learn that God is the modeler of all created beings. In doing this, he is the great modeler and the giver of models from his hand in the word of the living God. There is a most wonderful record of the three I call first model men in God's creation. Abel is God's first model man. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 reads, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet." What a wonderful record that is, and summary of this first great model man that we read about in the Old Testament scriptures. Abel is God's first model man. Yes, we read that he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We read he obtained witness that he was righteous, the son of an unrighteous father, Adam. But he is witnessing that he obtained witness that he was righteous by God in the gifts of God, and by it, being dead, he yet speaks. That's an interesting testimony, isn't it? That the dead speak and continue to speak. What a miraculous statement this is. What demonstration of divine revelation. Abel was the priest, and as such offered a more excellent sacrifice that his ungodly brother Cain offered. Cain was a Unitarian false priest. Contrast his sacrifice with that of Abel. Oh, this, that there was no blood offering by Cain, but the blood offering was the center of the worship of Abel. It was a God-pleasing sacrifice which Abel made. It was the offering with the message of redemption, a sacrifice of eternal obtaining of eternal salvation. The eternal heavens were to be Abel's forevermore. He had the undying witness that he, once a sinner, was now the earnest witness, not just for time, but through all the unending millenniums of eternity. What a testimony. Death could not silence this undying assurance and witness. Note the words. Who brought a special testimony to the reality of the work of this man? None other than God himself. Listen to these words. God testifying of his gifts. This man had the divine approval and the divine testimony of the second person of the Godhead, who would come to this earth and give his life a ransom for the many. Abel had the right altar. Abel had a testimony signed and sealed by God Almighty himself God Almighty testified to divine acceptance of the offering he was making. For that offering was a type of the offering to be offered by the Son of God on the place called Calvary. He was slaughtered by his brother Cain. But he could not be silenced. The testimony of Abel is as loud today as ever it was. What a model speaker Abel was. His speech was plain. Why? It was the old time religion that he was speaking for. There could be no misunderstanding. It was, "Thus saith the Lord," homiletics. Abel was a mighty speaker. His words shook heaven. His words shook earth. His words shook hell. And they all re-echoed round the world in centuries past, in centuries with us, and centuries to come. His word ringed the world which God made. It was not only sealed, for Abel had a seat in heaven, but it was God's personal and comfortable word. Christ has spoken it. It cannot be broken. His word stands fast as his standing in the Trinity. It cannot be forever touched. It was an offering that'll stand as long as God stands. Abel was a plain man, but he was a happy man, for he was a saved man. May God give all the ministers of the Savior on the planet today the same power and the same upholding of gospel truth. But the second model man was Enoch. He was a model walker. What do we read? Enoch walked with God. I do not read the name of an angel that walked with God, but I learn from the testimony of God himself that Enoch walked with God. Imagine it. This man, made of the dust of the earth, in unison with his Maker, he walked with his Maker. Genesis 5 and verse 23. We can call Enoch the model walker. Although he lived longer than any other Bible character, because he never died, he never needed to employ the undertaker, because God took him to be with him. Because of that, he is a Bible character that lived forever. However, he left, when he left this world with his Maker, he learned to leave us a wonderful example for all that would ever come and dwell upon this earth. For the young and the old, and the rich and the poor. What did they learn from the walk of this man Enoch? First of all, it is safe to walk with God. Listen to these words that this great walker, this first great walker, spoke. They were words of guidance for the whole lifetime, whether that lifetime would be long or would be short. There are many dangerous roads we must travel in our journey through life. But when we walk with God, we are safe, as safe can be. We are protected from the dangers that lurk in the shadows of a fallen universe. In Bible history, there are many, many examples of men and women who have had the courage to oppose evil and stand for the things that are honorable and right. Look at the patriarch Abraham. Study the dangers he faced. And then he looked at the unforgettable words God spoke to him. What were they? Genesis chapter 15 and 13. Fear not, Abraham. Why? I am his shield, and nothing can penetrate the protecting shield of God. It is above us, it is to the right of us, it is to the left of us, and it is under our feet. Yes, we can walk with the Lord. And when God is with us, we are as safe can be. He supplies sufficiency for every need. And instead of having stresses in our walk, we also have songs in our walk. We walk every day singing the songs of Zion. Little by little, the time goes by. It is short if you sing, but it still remains short if you sigh. Little by little, an hour a day, gone with the years that have vanished away. Little by little, the race is run, trouble and waiting and toil are done. Little by little, the skies grow clear. Little by little, the sun comes near. Little by little, the days smile out, gladder and brighter with pain and doubt. Little by little, the seed is sown into a plentiful harvest will grow. But we come now to the third model, the man called Noah. We read of him that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We read that Noah walked with God. Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9. What a task was placed in the hands of Noah. It would make you feel it if you were asked even to build a small ship. But he was to build the largest ship that had ever sailed the seas. And God was not only giving him the details, but he was telling him that one day the whole earth would be a sea. Think of it. This earth plunged in the darkness of a sea. What a task Noah was given. He was to become the model worker in all the world. Noah was not a shipbuilder, but he certainly became a ship sailor. Yet he would build the greatest ship of history in this old world. He became the greatest pilot that ever held the wheel of such a ship. In my studies, I came across the following poem, which I would like to share with you. Do as you are told to do by those more wise than you. Do not say what the use of this may be. I'm sure I cannot see. Just obey. Do not sulk and do not sigh. Though it seems quite vain to try, work away all the ends you cannot see. Do your duty faithfully, just obey. When at length you come to know why it was ordered thus and so, you will say, glad am I, that when to me all was dark as dark could be, I could trust and say cheerfully, just obey. What did Noah think of the reaction of his wife and his family? Would he be, when he related to them that he was going to build a great ship and that God was going to make the whole world into a mighty ocean, and Noah was going to be the ship's captain, and his wife and their three sons and their wives were going to be passengers? Not only so, but there was going to be a family of all the animals and all the birds and all the fishes. They were all going to sail in safety. He needed not to worship, because God had prepared for them decision day. And it came. Noah was obedient. He was also dedicated. Nothing could shift him from his determination to obey God. Can't you imagine the jeering, the jesting, the verbal abuse of the ungodly people all around him? But Noah patiently endured it all as he continued with determination and skill in the man of task that God had entrusted into his ready hands. Slowly but surely, the great ship that Noah had to build came to pass. Noah was, of course, a ready worker. He was no idler. No ear was ever open for the orders of his almighty sovereign. He was always ready for the boss to tell him the day's work. There were other servants of God who tried when they received orders from the shore, but they didn't obey. But Noah was totally, absolutely in obedience to his God. Let God speak, said Noah. Let God speak, and I will instantly obey. Noah was a respectful worker. He does not argue with God, but obeys instantly, reverently, and with a smile of joy on his face. He rejoices in the privilege of being one with his Maker in the great task. Dare to think, though others frown. Dare your words in thoughts express. Dare to rise, though oft cast down. Dare to be wronged and scorned to bless. Dare from custom to depart. Dare the priceless pearl possess. Dare to wear it next your heart. Dare when others cease to bless. Dare forsake what you deem wrong. Dare to walk in wisdom's way. Dare to give where gifts belong. Dare God's precept to obey. Do what conscience says is right. Do what reason says is best. Do with all your mind and might. Do your duty and be blessed. Noah was a reliable worker. He was totally under God's direction. No changes were ever made in any blueprint which was given to him by God. When God spoke, that was enough for Noah. God speaks, I obey. That was Noah's ethic. Noah was reverent. In no way would he do anything off his own hat. He was totally tied hand and foot to the Lord God Almighty. His testimony was simple. I have a driving power, and the name of that great engine that is within me is obedience. My guiding star is not my knowledge, but God's knowledge. When he speaks, I joyfully obey. And there is only one master's voice which will be always on the sight and which I will be heeding. Let us learn this from Noah's example. Go by God's watch. Don't try before God shows you the way. We are not told what Noah's talents were, but he was evidently taught of God. Noah was a man of the age, but God saw that he would be the man of the future. God taught him, and he was God's most outstanding student. He was an unlearned man, but he became the most learned man in all the world. May God give us all grace to obey the Lord at all costs. And then we too, with Noah, will receive and reap eternal results. May God bless his word to our hearts, and may we partake of the fruit of this great man, that we too may become God's man and God's woman in this world in which we live. Amen and amen.